In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening, Your Eminence, and dear brothers and brothers and sisters in Christ, members of this parish, who especially wish you Chronia Pola for the feast of your church. Recently, in a gathering of young adults in a discussion, we were wrapping up, and one of them said in a really a lamenting kind of way, but now we have to go back out into the world and live a much different life than we've lived in the past hour and a half that we were sitting around talking about theology and the faith and how to live our life as Christians. Because as we all know, when you are sitting in a group like that where you're sharing common values, a common faith, common desires, it's transforming and it's different. And yes, we do go back out into the world where things are broken and upside down, frustrating. As priests, we're so blessed in that we have limited exposure to that. But those of you who work out in the secular world, it's a world that is really turned inside out. And it's worth asking the question, how did this beautiful, modern, Western culture of ours get so twisted? How is it that seemingly we've learned nothing in the 2,000 years since the Incarnation? And as I was considering that question, I had a discussion with one of the seminarians from our metropolis, who shared with me a thought he'd learned in class. I don't know originally where it comes from. Perhaps some of you do know. So I say it without attribution, except to say that it is not my thought. Here goes. The Western world, our culture, began its downward slide, if you will, with the infallibility of the papacy, the notion of the infallibility of the papacy, which necessarily led, after the Reformation, to the infallibility of Scripture, and then after the Enlightenment, the infallibility of science, and now in the postmodern world, the infallibility of the individual, which is how we all live now. Each of us in this fallen world is perfect in our own eyes, and we can do and say whatever we want, unless, of course, obviously, we are choosing to live as Christians. And that is not a slam on Roman Catholicism, obviously, nor is it a slam on the Protestant tradition. I have no problem slamming those who hold science as their God, and certainly I would never endorse anyone thinking that he or she is perfect and infallible unto themselves. But it gives us a little bit of an understanding of who and what we are as people living in the Western world in the 21st century. Now, lest we say, well, I wish we had not inherited all of this quest for perfection, quest for infallibility, things would be so different. Rest assured that this naive search for perfection and infallibility is something that afflicts all human beings, all fallen human beings. Think about in our own world. You know, tomorrow you will read that the Jews seek signs and the Greeks seek wisdom. And we're very much like that, aren't we? We seek wisdom. We seek wisdom in the craziest of places. Seek perfection. Look for infallibility in the wisdom of the world, the latest technological gadget. My new iPhone, my new Galaxy, it's just perfect till the next one comes along, the newer one comes along. We seek the infallibility and the wisdom of human learning in and of itself, and then we wonder why humans left to their own devices can't make anything better, anything of substance better. We even seek wisdom in personalities. This is now in the early part of the 7th century of life. I have seen politicians, leaders come and go, and I never cease to be amazed at how people will place all of their hopes in leaders of this world, put them on pedestals, only to knock them down again, wanting them to be perfect, and then disappointed when they're not. But we seek signs too in our quest for perfection, the perfect workout. Some of you may do yoga. Some of you might do hot yoga. On California Street, I think it's California Street. No, I beg your pardon, it's Chestnut. On Chestnut, there is a body temperature yoga workout available. So it's not just hot yoga, it's body temperature. And I don't know exactly how they determine that, nor do I want to know. We seek wisdom in other ways. We seek wisdom in our desire for spiritual experiences. How many of our dear neighbors in the Bay Area who are spiritual but not religious are looking for that next spiritual high through meditation or some other means? And we practicing Christians, we too have our quest for signs, the signs of utopia, perfection. We might criticize people who want a political utopia, but we want our church utopia. We want the church where there's no fighting and where everybody is perfect, where the clergy does everything right, the parish council does everything right, everybody in the pews does everything right. And we forget that all of us are imperfect, all of us are sinners, and there's a reason that God brought us together in church as the body of Christ. And yet we seek those signs, the signs of utopia. We long for that perfection. The antidote to this upside down search for perfection, this elusive dream of infallibility, is found in good old fashioned apostolic Christianity as is written in the Bible. And again, this is from the appointed epistle reading for tomorrow's feast from St. Paul in 1 Corinthians. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God, through wisdom it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. The feast of the cross is many things, but the feast of the cross is a feast of turning things right side up, of inverting the upside down. And we know that just because of the words that are used in association with the crucifixion itself. The word exalted, lifted up, is a play on words in the first century. It refers also to crucifixion. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He must be crucified. At once he is exalted and crucified. And we see how the wisdom of this world is turned upside down. And so if we can embrace the reality that as practicing Orthodox Christians, as people now celebrating the Feast of the Holy Cross, if we can embrace the reality that we must stop looking for infallibility, but instead turn up things upside down, then I would submit it's time for us to embrace our fallibility, our faults, our failings. Today's world tells us that every individual is a god unto himself or herself, that we are all perfect, And goodness knows we sometimes even inculcate that spirit in our children. You're somebody, you're special, which they are, but those of us who sit here tonight as adults, as adult Christians, we know the reality. None of us are all that in a bag of chips, quite the contrary. We're broken, we're fallen, we're sinful. And we might hear those words as somebody in their 20s and 30s or even 40s and go, yeah, I get it. But then once you've gone through your midlife crisis and beyond, you hear those words, you go, yeah, I am broken. I am sinful. I am fallen. And when we begin to live that way, it softens us. Our relationships deserve the same treatment. We want perfection in our relationships, perfection in our marriages, our relationships with our grown parents, goodness knows, relationships with our bosses, co-workers. We want perfect relationships from imperfect people. But Jesus doesn't tell us that we should be seeking a quid pro quo in relationships, nor does he tell us that we should be seeking perfection. He tells us what? Love your enemies. Do good, expecting nothing in return. Forgive, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. There's nothing transactional there. There's no tit for tat. Jesus says, just to do this. And then in our relationships, instead of searching for perfection and infallibility, we instead just ask ourselves, what can I do for my fellow human being? And we place a lot of emphasis in our modern world on knowledge, acquiring it, using it, making the world quote unquote better, which we know never happens. And it's time for us to stop considering the acquisition of knowledge, the accumulation of degrees, the memorization of information as an end in of itself. Because you can never know everything, and in fact, anybody who thinks they know everything is probably one of those persons who knows very little. But we can take our knowledge, our quest for perfection, knowing everything, and we can transform that as well. And I would take here a page out of the writings of the Metropolitan Zuilius, who did some decades ago, in writing about ecology, talked about mankind as the priest of creation. Priests take bread and wine and elevate it, and that bread and wine becomes something much greater than it ever was. And we do that with creation. We elevate creation to make it something that participates in God's plan for creation itself. And I would say we could do that with knowledge as well. Rather than trying to be perfect in our knowledge, rather than trying to be smarter than the other person, rather than trying to figure things out on our own, isn't it just a much better thing to take our knowledge as priests of creation, elevate it, and then use it in God's plan for the salvation of the cosmos? Now, we're told that the Jews seek signs, and I would advocate to anybody here, don't seek signs per se. I'm not sure if any of us here have ever seen the uncreated light. God grant that some of us will if God gives us that gift. But I think I'm on pretty safe ground when I say that when we start to live with the spirit of the cross, when we turn things upside down, when we stop seeking infallibility, when we start to live that way, we will see some signs, because when I can embrace my own sinfulness, my own brokenness, and actually live that way, then Christ has a chance of really working in my life, and I can begin to change, and certainly beginning to change as we grow and grow old as Christians is a sign that God's at work. And the same is true, obviously, with our relationships. As I regard my fellow human being not as a transactional object, but as someone who needs my forgiveness, needs my generosity, needs my love. Lo and behold, the light of Christ seems somehow just to break out into the world and begin to drown out some of the evil and, quite frankly, ick that we find in this evil world of ours. And even knowledge, when we pursue knowledge, employ knowledge, use our brains in a way that glorifies God, in a way where you and I are priests of creation, instead of angst, we have peace of mind. And I would say that acquiring peace of mind in the 21st century is a sign in and of itself that God is at work. So we have said that the Feast of the Holy Cross is a feast that turns things right side up by them seemingly being upside down. You say, upside down how? Well, here's what you and I say as Christians. The true magnificence, true perfection is found in the person of the incarnate Logos, the second person of the Holy Trinity, with a bruised and battered and bleeding body put on display for all. We tell ourselves, and we know, that true perfection, true beauty, true infallibility is found with the King of the Ages hung on an instrument of torture. That for us is perfection. That for us is our aspiration with regard to how we live our lives. You see, St. Paul says in this letter, the first letter to the Corinthians, he says the following. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, a folly to Gentiles. But we know the truth. The cross to those who are perishing, yes, it is folly. That's what St. Paul tells us. But to those who are being saved, embracing the cross is the power of God. The cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, you, me, it is the power of God. In those words, in this feast, in the event of the crucifixion, we finally have fulfillment of our great desire to find something infallible. What is infallible and what is perfect is Jesus Christ on the cross.